Hello, hello. How are you guys doing? This is Marshall, aka Complex, at the Escape Artist Podcast. Welcome to episode 4, Sketch Daily. I've been away for a little bit. I was working on the Glyph comic, Glyph and the Terror of Tusk, which I finally finished for the mini comics dump truck for Art and Story Supreme. If you go to my site, plexhop.com, you can hear more about that, or see more about that, I should say. And, you know, I've been kind of busy with that, and that's that plus, you know, just all the other responsibilities I have kind of kept me from podcasting. But it's not because I haven't wanted to. I've totally been wanting to podcast. I have, like, a bunch of ideas. There's definitely a lot more to come. Just some quick updates for you guys. I just today put up a portfolio page on my website, plexhop.com, again. If I'm going to try to get going with some of this illustration work and making some money with the art and stuff, you know, I need a portfolio page. So I threw one up. It's a really simple portfolio page with about 8 images up. You know, go check that out. And if you know anybody who may need some illustration work that is kind of in that style, anything having to do with hip-hop and comic books is always my type of thing, or just whatever, somewhat similar to that style, definitely point them over to my site. That would be really cool. But anyways, just, you know, it'd be cool if you go over there and check it out just to see some of the art and, you know, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear any criticism or, you know, constructive criticism. Let's see, what else? Some more announcements. I'm going to be working on some small music projects soon. What I'm calling 3Ps, instead of like an EP. People, a lot of times, artists put out EPs, which is basically a short album. Well, I'm going to start doing 3Ps and putting them out, you know, probably for free, generally. You know, just kind of for fun and also just to, you know, not be in obscurity and try to get people listening to my music a little bit. Plus, you know, like I said, for fun, I just love making music and I love trying out different things with it. So this will give me the opportunity to do that. And it's also a small, you know, attainable project. So the first two that I'm thinking of doing are collaboration projects with other people. So that'll take a lot of the weight off of my shoulders. All I'll have to do is maybe, you know, submit some verses or something like that and do some recording, which will be nice to not have to do this huge project and stuff. So so that's what I'm doing with music right now. And then also another little announcement is Art and Story proper episode 192, which was, as I'm recording this now, is the latest Art and Story episode. They fielded a question that I submitted with audio about serialized comic books. So if you'd like to hear that, you know, go over to artandstorypodcast.com, check out episode 192, The Big Serializer, and check it out. And the last announcement I already kind of announced, which is just the Glyph Terror of Tusk comic, mini comic that I just put out. And you know, it was an awesome experience. I loved making it. It was my first mini comic ever, or actually I should say my first comic ever. And you know, I think it came out pretty well. It's a really basic storyline about a graffiti artist who goes down into some subways and is going to practice his graffiti and stuff, and encounters his enemy Tusk, and you know, that it just, a little battle ensues, and you know, that's kind of the gist of it. So definitely come to plexhop.com, check that out, and you know, maybe buy a copy if you're interested in getting a copy of my first ever comic. You know, it's been a long time in the waiting, and it felt good to finally stretch those comic book muscles, I guess. So that's about it for the announcements. I don't want to be too long-winded with that. But we could get on to the topic at hand. The topic that I wanted to talk about today was sketching daily, drawing daily, basically. I want to form a new habit of, you know, drawing every single day. For most of my life, I've always drawn, like, even since, like, I remember in nursery school, like, the arts and crafts portion of nursery school was, like, actually, I think it even started back in, even before that, in daycare. Like, I had a daycare place that I went to, and I don't know why I remember this. It's a long time ago, obviously, but, you know, I remember they had, like, a big, like, all the kids had a big, like, crafts, arts and crafts folder, that was, like, stapled together, and, you know, they were all up on this big shelf, and, I remember that, like, all the kids would want to go out and play and do all kinds of different things. All I wanted to do, I would always tell them, ask them if I could get my crafts folder down. All I wanted to do was draw, you know, and, like, just do crafts and whatnot. So, ever since then, I mean, even then, I knew, like, as small as I was and as, you know, little as my thoughts were, I guess, you know, I knew I wanted to just do whatever I could with drawing and creating, you know. I don't know why, it's just, like, right from the beginning, I knew that. So, you know, I've always loved drawing and I've always dabbled in it, but it's kind of sad. I'm, you know, kind of sad to say that, you know, I never made it a regular practice. Like, it would always be in, like, bursts of inspiration. I'd draw a bunch of stuff and, you know, and then I'd go on for weeks, months, you know, I don't know if I went on for years, but I would go on for a long time, you know, where I wouldn't draw anything, you know, and it's crazy, you know. I mean, when I was younger and at home, I'd hang out in my room and I'd probably draw more then than ever. And then I got into music and that kind of took over and I would draw a lot less and I'd be messing around with music more. So, you know, it's been kind of you know, unfortunate that I didn't draw as much as I should have all these years. So, you know, it's been really on my mind for a long time to get into the habit, finally form the habit of drawing every single day, 'cause I'm not going to get better by just sitting around doing nothing. So that's what I'm doing. That's my new goal. I knew that after I was done with this comic, that was going to be my new goal, is to form that habit specifically. And if you want to go to my site, plexhop.com, and get check it out, there's a blog post where I posted an article that I read online about forming habits and how long does it take to form a habit, and just more about this whole idea of me wanting to form this habit of drawing. So yeah, if you want to check that out, it's pretty interesting. Basically, what I wanted to do was find out how long does it take to form a habit. I've always heard people say a certain number of days, but I couldn't remember. I felt like it was like a month or something, but I guess what the common thing is people say 21 days, but that's like an old thing that isn't quite correct, I guess. And what they said after doing some further studies is it can take anywhere from 14 days to, you know, a year to form a habit, and sometimes that doesn't even work. But you know, that it depends also on the habit, you know. If it's an easy habit, then, you know, yeah, you can form it relatively quickly. But if it's something like really difficult, then, like, working out, like, that's one of the more difficult ones, probably, like, working out every day. You know, it might take a little longer. But I think drawing is, you know, probably a pretty easy one. 'Cause what I want to do is form the habit of doing it, like, at least 5 minutes a day. I might do it for way longer than 5 minutes, but I figure I can at least accomplish the goal of 5 minutes a day. So just doing a little sketch here or there. There's always at least that amount of time I can do something. So, you know, that's kind of the idea of what I'm trying to do here. And, you know, just as I was about to start it, and I've been doing it basically for a week now, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one podcast that I haven't checked on for a long time because it hasn't updated regularly for a while is Chris Oatley's Artcast. And I guess, you know, a while back he posted his last podcast that he's done, and I just never checked in because I knew that he wasn't posting, and I just this week checked it out. And it's episode 55 of Chris Oatley's Artcast. and it is, let me see, I have it written down. How to improve your art before you start. And, you know, this couldn't have come at a better time. You know, I just happened to check it out at this time, and it's like perfect for starting this project of trying to get in the habit of drawing every day. So, you know, I listened to that, and, you know, I was just inspired to really, you know, get this thing going, you know, and really finally get to this habit I wanted to form. And, so, you know, there's that. And then after I listened to that, I thought about, you know, there's some really good podcasts also, from Raul Aguirre Jr., the Man vs. Art podcast. I remember, like, way, way back that he had some really good ones. I mean, he talks about this a lot, just drawing and stuff in his podcast anyways. But, you know, he had a couple that were, like, really passionate that I was really into. And so I was like, all right, you know, I got to go find those and re-listen to those, you know, to get some more tips and everything. So that's what I did, and what I found was Man vs. Art episode number 14, Five Unavoidable Truths About Being an Artist, and Man vs. Art episode 16, The Essence of Drawing and the Meaning of Appeal. Those two episodes I highly, highly, highly recommend for anybody who's, you know, trying to get better at drawing, basically. It's extremely encouraging, a lot of good tips, and I'll have all these things in the show notes, but you can go to manversusart.com and, you know, click through the previous podcast to find it. It'll take a little bit of time, but, you know, it's definitely, definitely worth it. And yeah, Chris Oatley's Artcast is at chrisoatley.com. And there's a lot more that I've heard from other podcasts too that really have a lot of good advice on this. Another one is the Paper Wings podcast, which is Chris Oatley's other podcast that he's been doing, you know, on a regular basis. And there's some really good stuff on in that too. But primarily, you know, I wanted to kind of bring up some points from these three podcasts. And just from the Art and Story Supreme forums, I posted this same topic because I wanted, you know, to get people involved with Sketching Daily with me, because I figure, you know, it will be encouraging for us to kind of do it all together, basically, and you know, help each other out. So, you know, I posted that topic in the forum, and there was a lot of good feedback there, so I'm going to get to some of that too. But one thing that I noticed, probably, you know, one of the big things I noticed, that there was actually a lot of common threads between the podcasts that I was listening to, and what people have been saying in the forums and stuff. But one thing that Chris Oatley and Raul Aguirre Jr. was saying is the number one crippling effect to like a young artist, or even to old artists, is not taking the time to draw from life, you know, not taking the time to, you know, have still lifes and draw that, or figure drawing, or, you know, studies of hands and feet and, you know, whatever, you know, just drawing from life, drawing from photo reference and from real life. People just skip that step, you know. And I'm just as guilty of it too. I mean, I'm 32 years old and I've been drawing my whole life, and I'm just now getting to this. I mean, I've done it before. I have done all that stuff before, but, you know, I hadn't done it consistently enough to really, you know, hone my craft. And, you know, you can tell in people's art, you know, sometimes they're good at faking it, but, and I think I've gotten to a certain level of faking it where it's, you know, it looks okay, but at the same time, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be able to have freedom to draw whatever I want, you know, because I understand how forms work and gestures work and how things move and how folds work on clothes and things like that, you know. That I think what really brought this to a head was drawing my mini comic. You know, I realized I kept it really simple with the visuals. There's two characters and it's set in a subway, so it's like extremely easy to draw, like just two characters in that setting, you know. So, but even with that, I just realized that there's so much that I'm missing, you know. There's so many things that I need to learn before I can start drawing other comics, because I can't always keep it, you know, that simple. You know, there's going to be all kinds of characters and all kinds of situations. So, you know, I really felt the need to ramp up my art drawing abilities. So, and it's crazy because, you know, Raul was also saying, you know, he said something like 80 to 90% of the people he has seen, you know, a lot of artists and stuff, you can, you know, their art is a lot weaker because they skip this step, you know, they don't put enough time into drawing often, you know, consistently. And one thing he said that was really funny, you got to check out the podcast because he says some funny, funny stuff. But one thing he said was laziness is not a style. And it's true. I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the popular media that's come out with some illustration and stuff that's in the popular media nowadays, they've actually taken, you know, crappy drawings, and that's like a new style, that's like what's in now, you know. If you look at like Napoleon Dynamite and, you know, some of the stuff in that, or like what was that other movie with the girl who got pregnant, I don't know why I can't think of it. It's a pretty cool movie, but anyways, you guys will probably know. Maybe I'll be able to insert the link or something. But, you know, there, I remember in the intro, there was, you know, the drawings, it was like animation kind of style, but it was like crappy drawing type of stuff, like stuff I drew when I was younger, you know. Like, I don't know. It's a cool aesthetic, I guess, once in a while, but it's become popularized to a certain point where it's like, hello, like, let's get some good, I don't know, you want to see some good illustration also. You know, I liked hearing, like, as an artist, you don't want to become complacent and just, you know, always draw, you know, crappy drawings and try to get by on that, or fake it, and then when a certain project comes up, you're stuck because you don't know how to draw things, you know, you don't know how to draw feet or something, or hands, or, you know, you can't figure out how the proportions work within a drawing. So, you know, laziness is not a style, and I'm not trying to make it my style. Another thing, too, is every artist has tons of crappy drawings in them. Like, Raul talks about that also. You know, he says they have, every artist has like a zillion crappy drawings inside them, and you got to kind of get them out, you know. You can't just be, I don't know, I guess that's the thing. Like, that was an encouraging thing. Like, if, you know, you just got to keep drawing, even if what you draw, you know, one day sucks, you know, don't really feel bad, because everybody sucks. It's not an easy thing to master, and even when you do master it to a certain extent, you're still going to draw crappy drawings from time to time. but, you know, it's practice for when it's time to really illustrate a piece or draw a comic or do an album cover or whatever. You know, that's, it's all practice for better art down the line. So, get to the point where you feel okay with making crappy drawings. And it's hard, it's tough. Like, I've been doing it all this week, and, you know, I do get discouraged, and I'm like, wow, I can't, you know, I can't believe that when I draw, you know, a picture of my wife, you know, I draw the mouth too big, or it doesn't quite look like her, or, like, the eyes crooked or something, you know. And it's like, I look at my wife all the time, I know exactly what she looks like, we've been together for like 14 years, you know, but for some reason, I draw her and she looks like Picasso, like a Picasso drawing or something, like the eyes are in the wrong place and this and that, but, not to knock on Picasso, obviously he was doing something different with expressionism and stuff like that, but, you know, it's just crazy, you know, how you know where things are, you know what they look like, but still, when you draw them, they look deformed and stuff like that. So, you know, you're going to draw crappy drawings, but, you know, you got to draw those crappy drawings to get to the good ones. So, another thing that Chris Oatley was talking about was understanding the form is one of the most important things to knowing how to draw well. And I guess what that kind of also translates to is, you know, stuff I learned in art. Like, I've taken art classes and stuff from time to time. And one thing that I learned was to draw what you see and not what you think you see. And it's hard to kind of switch over to that mindset, but there's definitely some things you can do to practice that and kind of switch that mentality over, which I'll get to in a little bit later. But, you know, it's not so much teaching yourself how to draw, it's teaching yourself how to see, understanding the form, observation. All that is actually sometimes more part of drawing than the actual putting the pencil to the paper. And, you know, it's really crazy. It's so interesting to see how the mind works and how it translates into physical art and stuff like that. Rene Van Belzen from renevanbelzen.wordpress.com, he's also a Supreme member and was talking in the forums, and he brought out that point also in the Supreme forums. He said that drawing daily isn't only about skill, but it's also about developing an artistic vision, and it affects how you see the world. You know, I noticed that, you know, when I'm drawing, like, say if I draw for, you know, a couple hours or something, I'm working on a piece or whatever, and then I go out, you know, to Walmart or wherever I go, you know, I'll notice that I look at things differently. Like, I see shapes and I see shadows and I see forms, you know, I see triangles and circles, you know, that are the basis of, you know, people's forms and stuff, like heads and arms and, you know, cars, boxes, like all kinds of different forms you see. And, you know, also colors, you know, if you're working in colors, you can see, you know, you go out and you see the, you know, the harmonies and disharmonies also in colors and how light works. And, you know, you don't usually think of that. You take a lot of that stuff for granted, you know, in everyday life usually, but that's a big part of learning how to draw, is learning how to see, basically. So that is, you know, one of the things I'm learning, and I think that's basically what you learn, you constantly learn. You're always learning that, and you're always getting better at that, getting better at seeing. And, you know, even Raul talked about that also, is, you know, try when, if say you're doing in a figure drawing class, you know, try looking at the figure more than you're actually looking at your drawing. There's a such thing called blind contour drawing, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with a lot of these things, because you're all, you know, a lot of you are trying to become artists or trying to get better at being an artist or whatever. But, you know, blind contour drawing is a great way to learn how to observe. It's the drawing that you're doing isn't supposed to look good afterwards. You know, it's just supposed to teach you how to follow lines that you see. So you literally don't even look at your drawing at all. And you sit there and you put the pencil to the page and you just follow the lines as you see them. And, you know, then you look down after 5 minutes and you see like the squiggly thing that kind of sort of looks like what you saw. But what it does is it teaches you to see the lines and observe. So that's one thing you can do to get better at that. And, you know, and then there's also like gesture drawings and stuff, but that, you know, that teaches you some other things too. So that was one of the things. Another thing that I learned was the order in which you put together a drawing. One of the fundamental things is first action, second volume, and third the detail. Never start with the detail, never start with the form. Yes, you have to understand the form and you have to observe the form, but if you start with the form, you're going to mess it up. You know, especially when you're drawing people or animals or something like that. The first thing you want to do is get the gesture, the action. You know, people are, when they're in a position, that's why gesture drawing is so important. You know, you want to catch the essence, basically, of the person or animal. And, you know, that's a way you can kind of get the weight of it. Like, where's the weight when they're standing a certain way or sitting a certain way or laying a certain way? You know, what's pushing what where? You know, what muscles are pushing him, the person, to lean like that or something like that? You know, like, that's the action. And usually that's a very quick thing. Like, if you can just do an action line through the character, or maybe a couple action lines through the character, that'll help you to get the position right. And then you start working out the forms, or the volume. And that's basically when you got the action line right, and now you're going to start putting shapes on top of that action line. The torso, you know, could be like kind of like a barrel shape or like a sandbag shape type of thing. You know, the head is like a circle shape. You can put the hands and the feet. One trick that Raul was talking about is draw the feet and hands first and then attach the arms after, because you can always adjust that. But, you know, you can always kind of connect the arms, you know, so it makes it a little easier. But, yeah, draw out the, you know, tubes, the shapes or whatever, all the different shapes and the forms. That's where you're constructing that. So now you got a gesture and you got, you know, all these circles and squares and stuff that kind of create the form as construction lines. And then you go in and do the detail. That's where you, you know, you put the lines in the face, the eyeball, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, you know, the folds on the clothing, or, you know, whatever, you know, that's when you start really shaping it out. And but that's the last step. If you start with the details or the form, you're missing, you know, the whole thing. And it's funny, like, I never knew that until this week. I never even knew that there's actually, you know, it's really important to follow that order. I think I always started with the form, because a lot of these art books, they, you know, they show you how to shape. That's like the first thing they show you is form. a lot of times, like Marvel drawing the comics the Marvel way. I think that's how they start. Like I used to have that book. I don't have it anymore, but you know, they start talking about forms and shading and stuff on the forms and how you can shape things out. And they do talk about gesture, but I don't think they talk about it in that order or emphasize that order. And I think it's really important, especially when you're gonna start laying out compositions and stuff. So, you know, action, volume, detail, or gesture, form, detail. Both of those work. I mean, it's the same thing. But, you know, action and volume are kind of abstract terms. Maybe gesture and form are a little bit easier to understand. Not that it's hard to understand, but, you know, it helps me to think of it that way. So yeah, that was something that's definitely, I mean, I could see a difference, you know, right from the first time I tried to actually do it that way, and my drawings have already improved, you know, a ton just from that little thing. So I look forward to continuing that practice and kind of ingraining that into my head, you know. And I guess that's one thing with forming these habits is you want it to get to the point where it's automatic and you don't even have to think about it anymore. You just do it. So right now that's why it's important to do it at the beginning stages. And you know, the beginning stages for me is coming 32 years from when, you know, when I was born. But you know, that it's important to lay that foundation in those fundamentals, or else your artwork is always going to lack. And you don't want that, obviously, especially if you're trying to do it professionally, you know. So there's that. Another big point that I've been learning is to break the habit, you know, as well as creating a habit, we got to break some habits. And one of the big habits to break is the tendency to be too precious about your work. Like if I sit down to sketch every day and I'm trying to make a masterpiece every day, I'm going to start skipping days very quickly and lose confidence and not want to continue and basically fail. But if I'm not precious about it and it's stuff that I could almost just throw away, you know, then I'll keep doing it, you know, and I'll be getting to the point of practicing and getting to the point of building, you know, upon what I've learned. So a couple tricks you can do to be less precious is the tools that you use. Instead of using, you know, pencils and, you know, ink and brush like crow quills and a brush, you know, maybe just go straight to the page with pens or Sharpies. Use just a regular number two pencil. Don't, you know, use your special, you know, pencil with the, you know, changeable leads and stuff. I have one of those pen. I don't even know what they're called, but I have one of those where you get the different, you know, hardnesses of leads, and you can, you know, use like sandpaper to kind of shave it to a fine point and stuff. And I really enjoy using that, but I'm learning that, you know, I don't really want to use that for my daily sketch practicing. You know, that's for when I'm getting ready to start, you know, a full illustration piece. So, you know, use, like I said, go, that's what I've been doing too, is I'll just use a Sharpie. And another thing is use newsprint or transparent paper. You know, it's cheaper, and you know, you're not going to be tempted to like make it into a full piece so much because it's not really on good paper, and you know, it's more kind of throwaway, and it helps you. It definitely helps me, you know, to not be so precious with my artwork. So that's what I've been doing. I have this big, huge pad of newsprint that I'm using right now, and So I can actually take one page and probably use it for a whole week, you know, and that's also another way to just save money, you know, because it's so big, you know. So, you know, that's one thing I'm doing to break that habit of being too precious with my artwork and to just get to the nuts and bolts of learning these things, these fundamentals. Another thing that Renee Van Belsden and Chris Oatley and, you know, Raoul brought up was keep your drawings. Keep all your drawings, never throw away the drawings. Even if you just take them all and throw them into a big bucket, you know, they don't have to be neatly organized or anything. But keep your drawings and make sure you date them, even if it's just dating the year, because you can go, it's really good to at times to go back and see where you've improved and see where you would like to go further afterwards. It's interesting, Renee, you want to I would definitely suggest following Renee Van Belsden on Twitter, or you know, going to his website, reneevanbelsden.wordpress.com, because this guy, like, he's very inspirational to me, because he has been drawing like daily for, I don't know, probably, I don't know how long he has, but I've noticed him throwing up drawings almost daily, like for like a year or something now. And you know, it's really awesome to see his improvement, because it really, it does, I don't, you know, talent is one thing, but I think the biggest thing, more important than talent, is hard work, you know, and just doing it consistently. And you know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't work hard, you're not going to get anywhere with it. And like I said, he's been a real inspiration to me, because he's been doing this consistently for a long time. And not only that, but he thinks, like, not to, you know, toot his horn or whatever, you know, but he always like has really engaging tweets and things to say about different subjects, especially about art and drawing. I think he reads up a lot more about it than I have, but he's always got something interesting to say that really makes you think. So I would definitely suggest following him on Twitter, and I'll put all these links and stuff. He's also on Facebook too. I'll put all these links in the show notes, though. There's going to be a lot for this one, because I took a lot of notes, basically. One thing he mentioned, though, that I thought was really interesting was he was talking about keeping your drawings to see the improvement, and then, you know, he was talking about being consistent with it and having that distance in time. You know, say you've been doing these sketches for a year or a couple years, and that will help you to be able to see where you've come from and where you can improve in the future. And also just that time, like, it's funny, like, even though I haven't been consistent with you know, sketching and all that, like, I feel like I've gotten better, even if I go for a year without drawing and then I go back to the drawing board. Sometimes I feel like I've gotten better, like I can actually do things better. And I don't know why, maybe it's just from simple observation or something. But I feel like just the distance and time for some reason helps a little bit, you know. I mean, it doesn't mean I haven't drawn for that whole year, but there's been little spots where I have drawn. But I don't know. I don't know. It's something interesting to think about. You know, I think just the distance and the time helps for some reason. And especially if you're being consistent with drawing every day, you know, that it's, you're gonna grow tremendously, you know. So I can't wait to see where I'm at a year from now, because I've been doing it for only a week now. So, you know, but I guess, you know, I was drawing pretty consistently doing this comic too, so, you know, I can kind of add that to it. But, you know, I definitely am interested, you know, come this time next year to see, you know, how far I've gotten and stuff like that. So, you know, there's that. I also wanted to, I have some notes here on some of the stuff people were saying in the Supreme forums. Like I said, artandstorypodcast.com. The Supreme service just to be on the forums is, I think it's just like $10. And you're on the forum. That's a subscription to the forums for a full year. Or you could do the trial version, and you get 15 days of all the podcasts, all the Supreme content, the videos. And I, you know, I definitely always recommend Art and Story Supreme. They have their free stuff too, the podcast that comes out every week. But you know, there's so much, you know, there's so much from Mark and Jersey and Kevin that they put into, you know, helping us out and stuff, and I've learned so much from that show. But from the forums, some of the other things people were saying, let me just, George Warden from dungeonlegacy.com, he suggested that one thing that really helped him to draw every single day, and to really get into a consistent practice is having it be project driven. He never really drew consistently until he started his webcomic, and he was doing that, I guess, 3 days a week. So, you know, it's interesting. And I found that also, you know, that having a project that you're working on will keep you consistent at drawing. But what I'm doing with these daily sketches, though, is I'm doing like gesture, like these are more like warm-up sketches, not necessarily working on a project, but I think doing these will, you know, if say I have like 5 minutes to do some warm-up sketches, and then I'll spend 10 minutes on a project that I'm working on. And a lot of times 15 minutes is really as much time as I even have during the day to actually draw every day, which is fine, you know, it's better than not doing anything, you know. So, and that's kind of how I made this comic, you know. I just had my table set up, and the comic was there, and every little 5 minutes, 10 minutes I had, I would work on it, and I got the comic done, you know, in a couple months. So, you know, and that was my first comic, and I hadn't even gotten, you know, my techniques down at all. This is me learning how to do it, you know, from you know, the beginning. So, you know, hopefully I can get, you know, quicker processes and stuff, you know. But so that was another thing I was thinking too, and I think Chris Oatley talked about it, is you know, make sure your drawing area is clean and organized. Have it set up, you know, so you can just sit down and start, you know. That way, if you have 5 minutes, you can just jump in and jump out, you know. So that's another good thing. Also, George Warden was saying, have your projects have another project lined up, like keep a bunch of projects lined up, so once you're done with the one you're working on, you can jump right into the next one and you won't stop drawing, you know. And I think that's another good, some more good advice. Brushman also from the forums, and I couldn't find any links or anything for him, so I'm not quite sure. I might already be connected to him on Twitter, but I just don't know, you know, how his real name relates with his Twitter name and all these handles sometimes, that, you know, it's hard to keep up with. But I'll try to find that and put that in the show notes. But he was talking about actually drawing things he hates, to basically be a challenge, like stuff he doesn't want to draw. It's a challenge to kind of stretch further than you would normally stretch. So that's another idea, you know, something to kind of help you get better at drawing. Let's see, I talked about Renee, a couple things. Oh, one thing he mentioned was you'll see improvement even if you didn't have fun each time you sat down to draw. And that's one thing I've noticed even this week. Like, I'm like, there's a couple days where I was like, oh man, I really don't want to sit down, like I just don't feel like drawing, I'm tired, whatever. But you know, I sat down anyways and said, okay, I'm going to just do 5 minutes at least, though, so I can post something up. You know, I had that accountability because I've already been talking to people about posting every single day. So I'm like, okay, I'll sit down, I'll do a drawing, take a picture with my phone and throw it up on the internet. At least I did that, you know. So, but still, you'll see improvement just from doing the act every day. And so that was a cool thing that he said. Also, RJ, I'm not sure exactly what his full name is, but it's his website is mangatakesguts.tumblr.com. So definitely go check that out. I'll put that in the show notes. But one thing that he noticed that helped him was posting, and this is that accountability thing again, is posting online every day or whenever and getting positive responses. That's definitely an encouraging thing, and I found the same thing has helped me. And then also another guy, I'm not sure what his name is either, Adiolitos, I want to say that's his handle name. And if you go to adiolitos.com, that's, I guess, his website. I did a search on Twitter and I found that, you know, he makes comics and he's connected with people I'm connected with art. So I'm pretty sure that's his website. But he suggested pixellovely.com, which is, it's a really cool site. And I actually heard Kevin Cross suggest this too. And it's a cool site if you are lacking reference material to draw from on any particular day or whatever. You can go to that site and they have, like, you can click different options, like 30-minute drawings, 5-minute drawings, you know, things like that. And you can click, like, animals, people, nude drawing or nude images or whatever. And what it'll do is it'll flash an image for, like, 30 seconds and then a new image for another 30 seconds, like, and then another one for 30 seconds. Or you can put it to, like, a minute or, like, 5 minutes or something like that. And, you know, it's just a cool way to sit down and practice for an hour or something, just drawing quickly, you know, 30-second drawings or for a half an hour or whatever, you know. So that it's definitely a really cool site. Go check out pixellovely.com. And thanks to Adiolitos, or however you say it, for suggesting that. So that's that. And let's see what else. I just wanted to talk a little bit about some motivations to get going with the sketching. And, you know, one thing that I set it up on Facebook and kind of on, I'm the only one who's posted it so far on Twitter, but I want to start the hashtag sketch daily. So hashtag sketch daily. We can all just post up our daily sketches, and, you know, I don't care if it's across podcasts or just different people all over the internet. You know, we'll be able to build an encouraging community to, you know, post these sketches up and be accountable to each other and just talk to each other about drawing daily or whatever, you know. But use the hashtag sketch daily, and, you know, that'll be a good way for us all to kind of communicate and talk to each other. Also, I put up a Facebook page, and it's the same thing, hashtag sketch daily. You can search for it in Facebook and become, you know, my friend, or like that Facebook page. I will post the link also in the show notes. So that'll be a really cool thing for us all to be accountable to each other. I've already got Renee's up there, you know, posting sketches in the Facebook. Pat Higgins talked about wanting to use the hashtag. He's actually on vacation right now, but he said once he gets back, he's going to post the hashtag and start doing the daily sketches. And some other people also have talked about it. I know Gonzalez, Jose Gonzalez, but he's Gonzalez on the Twitter. He posts sketches often, you know, of just daily sketches and stuff. He actually has been doing some other things lately, but, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing some of his sketches, maybe, you know, on the Facebook, or, you know, using that hashtag. He's another dude who's been, like, really encouraging to me as far as, like, just
a guy who's consistent at drawing all the time. It'll be cool to see all these people, do that and just, talk to them about, doing that. And another motivation is, I guess that's the three motivations, is posting daily, it'll help you increase traffic to your site. Obviously that's not what you're doing it for. You're doing it to get better at drawing and stuff and keeping accountable. But also think of it as that, people may follow your link because you're sketching daily and you have a daily thing that you're doing that people can see, and eventually they might check it out, go and click on your site and check your site out, and that maybe will increase a little bit of traffic to your website or whatever it is that you're promoting. It's just another little additional motivation. So there's that, accountability and encouragement from peers, which was the second one I already talked about, and then the project-driven idea that George Warden was talking about is another motivating factor. And I'm sure there's a ton more. If you guys have some suggestions, more things to motivate, post it on Twitter, put a comment in the show notes or something. Whatever. Just all any feedback is always good. And I'll try to come on the podcast and mention some of these more further motivations. And also, what are we going to do when we're doing these sketches? It's easy to sit down to a blank piece of paper and just be like, okay, now what do I do? I don't know what I'm going to draw right now. And that could stop us from drawing daily. So I kind of put together a little list here of some things that you can do. And I'm thinking of, with this hashtag, I'll put, like, maybe every week I'll put a suggested task to do. And you don't have to follow it, but if you'd like to, it'll just give you an idea if you don't have any ideas of what you want to draw that week or whatever. So I'm thinking of doing that also. So maybe we'll start that next week. But here are some of the tasks that if you're running out of ideas, what you can do. You can experiment with styles. I like to the idea of maybe copying different comic book artists or whatever, just to kind of see what they're doing and stuff, or just trying to come up with my own styles or whatever. So that was one of the things. Experimenting with mediums, try charcoal. I like working in charcoal. Try just drawing with markers. Try, I don't know, using watercolors. You could use anything, different kinds of pencils, different kinds of pens. I like to use Sharpies, But like I said, try not to get too meticulous with it. Just, one tool, and try to keep it not precious or whatever. So there's that. There's also studies, Excuse me, I feel like I'm gonna sneeze. Say you're a lot of people have a hard time drawing hands, So do a hand study or do hand studies for a full week. I bet you'll be a lot better at drawing hands if you do hand studies for a full week. Or just once in a while, randomly say, okay, I'm going to do a hand study today. That's going to help you draw hands a lot better. Anatomy, clothing, whatever. Do any kind of study on anything that you need to brush up on or whatever. So that's one idea. I was thinking, oh, another idea that I actually didn't write down that I'm thinking of now is cartooning. Like, try to do like almost like that image they show of like the ape like evolving into a full human. Like, that's how I think of cartooning, and I think I might do, maybe a podcast or a video on this someday, but this is how I approach like actually cartooning. Is I can't just like necessarily look at a picture of, I don't know, an animal or something, and then cartoon it. Like, I can, but for some reason, it helps to like kind of do this decomposing of it or whatever, like deconstructing of it, I guess. draw it kind of in a detailed sketch, you know, not like crazy detail, but just try to draw it like it actually is, and then start shaping it out and make it, sorry about that, make it a little more simplified, and then make it a little bit more simplified, and just keep simplifying it more and more till you get almost down to one shape to represent the animal. And, you know, then you can kind of work with that and maybe make some variations, throw another weird shape in there to kind of throw it off, but make it a little more unique. So that's another, you know, task you can do as these daily sketches, you know, something fun to kind of stretch your visual vocabulary. Do studies for specific projects. Like, say you got an illustration coming up that you need to, that you know you're going to want to do, start getting some photo references and, that pertain to that specific thing. Like if you got to draw, I don't know, like a car and, you know, a man with a beard and, you know, whatever, you know, start getting some photo references of different people with beards and different, you know, views of a certain car or whatever, and just start doing studies of those specific objects. Or say, you know, you have to draw some kind of fantasy thing, but it doesn't have a specific reference because it doesn't exist in the world, like a fairy or like a dragon or, you know, I don't know, anything, like a wand or something. I don't know. You know, find something that is similar to that object, like, I don't know, a dinosaur, or like could be for a dragon, or even that is something kind of fantasy because we've never seen one, you know. But you, there are things that are analog to that in nature, you know, like a lizard could be a good reference for a dinosaur or for a dragon or whatever, you know. Start drawing lizards and then try to work from that to create your fantasy type of piece or whatever. But that's basically the idea of doing studies for specific projects. Like I did the glyph comic, and you know, I had to go online and draw some spray cans and draw some pictures of people with like funny afros and stuff, because my character has like a funny afro and like elephants, you know. One of my characters is a cartoon version of an elephant. I did a few different drawings of elephants before I came to the character design I wanted to work with, and I actually want to further develop those characters. That was like a really basic idea of those characters. So anyways, that's one of the things you can do. I already talked about the copycat idea a little bit, but just, you know, go try to copy different people's styles. You know, it'll help you to see how you translate certain things, and it'll also help you to kind of see what they were doing, and maybe you can learn from that. I mean, that's just in the sketching stage. I'm not saying copy their style and use that as an illustration work that you get paid for or something like that. I don't, you know, think that's right to do, but, you know, copying people's styles is a good way of learning, you know, maybe getting some of the tools that they use, you know, somehow. But do it your own way, obviously. Gesture studies, you know, go through, you know, 10, like I said, that one website that dude suggested, you know, go and do like, find like 10 pictures of different gestures and just draw the gesture line, or just like some scribbling gestures, you know, trying to get the action and trying to get the movement of that particular person or animal. So that, you know, those are usually quick ones. You want to do those really quick. And when you're sitting down to do your own illustration, I think it maybe comes a little slower to get those gestures, because you want to get it right and put it, you know, in the right spot and placement in your piece. But yeah, gesture studies, you want to do those often. It's definitely something good to practice. It's not as easy as it seems. Trust me, I've tried. That's actually something I have a hard time with. Contour studies, like I said, do a blind contour and just follow the lines without even looking at the paper, and it'll help you to see better. You know, it'll help you to see the objects you're drawing better and draw what you see and not what you think you see. It's a very important skill to have, and I'm just at the baby step, you know, area of that right now. But, you know, it's transformed the way I draw. I learned that like a few years back when I was taking an art class, and you know, it's easily brought my skills up to a much better level. Also, form studies and light studies. You know, learn how light works. Learn how it works when it hits a face, or how the shadows work as opposed to the highlights and stuff like that. You know, start working with light and shade and shadow, I should say. You know. Also, another thing you could do is draw something more than once. Like, say you got an image of somebody, draw them in one style, draw them in a more abstract style, draw them, you know, draw them five times in the same style. Try to make sure you get the proportions right. For some reason, that repetitive act helps, you know. So those are just a few tasks, but actually there are a good amount of tasks, and I think that will keep you busy, and it'll definitely keep me busy for a long time. But gesture studies and contour studies are a big basis to drawing, so if you know, maybe try to do those often, maybe do a few of those a week or something, you know, I don't know. But you know, definitely, you know, that's some things that hopefully will, you know, kind of fuel your ideas for your further daily sketches and stuff like that. And you know, I really would love to see you guys, you know, do this with me. You know, it'll definitely be something where we can all get better as artists, and there's no competition. I mean, there's always the healthy competition, you know, type of idea, but we're not trying to outdo each other or be better artists, because honestly, there's no such thing as the best artist. This is another thing Raul talked about. You know, there is no best artist. There, no matter, like, say you think in your mind of the best artist you could possibly think of, who's way better than you feel like you could ever be. There's somebody better than him somewhere. And honestly, it's not really best, it's your unique way, because you'll never be able to duplicate another artist. We're all unique individuals, so the thing that really sets people apart is you being the best you can be and doing it your own way, and that's as good as you can ever get. You know, you just keep working towards being the best you can be. So it's not a competition against each other, you know, and never, you know, don't ever feel like you're not as good as somebody else. You know, the other person who you think is better than you can never be the best you that you can, you know, they can't duplicate you ever, really, because every person is unique in the way they draw and put down lines and, you know, the things that they like to emphasize. And, you know, that's why I'm not really focused on trying to find a style so much, at least not yet, because to me, I'm going to just keep drawing and drawing and drawing and see what emerges, and that is what will be my style. I might play with styles eventually, you know, try to get more cartoony or whatever, but those things that are just unique to me will always come out in whatever style I do. So, you know, it's just some interesting things to think about, and, you know, I really would like to see you guys progress and me progress, you know, and I think that it'll be really fun to see, to encourage each other and be accountable to each other. So that's what this is all about, you know. Sketch Daily, hashtag Sketch Daily. Go check it out. Go, you know, post your drawings, and don't worry if they're crappy, you know. I'm gonna post a lot of crappy drawings. I already posted, you know, like a picture of my wife where her mouth is way too big and it looks stupid. You know, it just is what it is, you know. We all have plenty of crappy drawings in us, so go and post some crappy drawings online with me. That's actually what I was actually going to call the hashtag CDC, like hashtag CDC, Crappy Drawing Coalition. But I tried to do the hashtag, and I found out that that's some other like religious thing or something. I don't know. I think it's like a religious thing or something. And so I didn't want to mix up with that hashtag sketch daily nobody's using. So it'll be cool to see if that grows and if people outside of, my circle and your circle come in and become part of it. I think anybody, like I said, talent is not where it's all at. Yeah, there's people have a certain kind of talent for it, but it's more about working hard and working through these hard things and getting these crappy sketches done that gets you to being, good at being an artist. So let's do this, I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be fun. I guess the only other thing I wanted to talk about was I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm so encouraged by like all the comments that you've sent in, all the feedback. It's been very awesome and encouraging. And I have I'm gonna be more regular with this podcast. I can't promise anything. I wanted to promise a weekly podcast, but it's just not gonna happen. I just don't have a lot of time, but I am gonna try to be more regular with it. I have a lot of ideas. Look for, forward to checking in to the Escape Artist Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this session, and thanks for listening. And let's get these pencils moving, and go check out some of the links that I talked about. If you've already listened to Man vs. Art, I suggest going back to some of those podcasts and re-downloading them and listening to them. They're really encouraging. I think I'm going to keep some of those podcasts like in my phone like permanently so I can go back often. 'Cause like I said, Man vs. Art episode 16 or episode 14 is the one I was kind of talking about, but also that's the five unavoidable truths about being an artist. And then episode 16 of Man vs. Art, the essence of drawing and meaning of appeal, another great one that's encouraging about drawing. And he goes through, he calls them the five P's of drawing and the five C's of drawing, which it's like, take what we were just talking about here, and it's kind of the next step. These are some more things you want to really work on. If this is drawing 101, that's like drawing 102. It's a more advanced thing that I'm going to be revisiting those podcasts to learn more and more. And also, Chris Oatley's Artcast episode 55 is, like I said, another encouraging one if you want to go back and check that out to help you get motivated to sketch every day. So yeah, that's about it. I don't want to go any longer. I think I'm already about an hour on this, so I'll let you guys go. You've heard me talk for long enough. And like I said, I hope you enjoyed, and I can't wait to do another podcast and talk to you guys again. And definitely leave, comments. Let me know what you think of, my portfolio on my site, or just the podcast, or if you have ideas for further podcasts. I'd love to hear any comments or questions or any kind of feedback. So thank you again, and I will talk to you next time. God bless. Complex. Peace.